Welcome back to That 590 Show. I hope everybody is having a hot and humid Thursday evening. Matt Berger and Matt Rocchio alongside. Joining us, though, right now on the Bellman Automotive phone line is the longtime columnist for STLtoday.com. You can follow him on Twitter at Gordo's Zone. Jeff Gordon, how are you, my friend?
Hey, how you doing, everybody? Great to be with you. Beautiful day in St. Louis. How you doing?
I like that intro, man. You always bring it. I love it. The first question I have to ask you, though, is that when you were working with Matt Rocchio, when you're doing the mornings on a different station, was Matt Rocchio always as cynical about movies then because he hates The Karate Kid and he hates Back to the Future?
You know, I didn't get that side of the Rock of St. Louis. You know, he was always trying to educate us on the NBA. He had certainly had some interesting topics, but... Yeah, I don't know. I mean, cause neither he worked with Brian McKenna and myself, and neither of us are really movie buffs, so we were probably a poor pairing for him.
Yeah, he's just going on and on and on, as he normally does, about, you know, something beloved like Back to the Future and The Karate Kid, and you two are like, yeah, we don't care.
Yeah, he can cite all the lines you want. They're going to go right past us,
Let's start with the St. Louis's favorite punching bag, and that is the football team that formerly occupied the city for over 20 years and now resides out in Los Angeles. They have traded Greg Robinson today, their former second overall pick, to the Detroit Lions for a sixth-round pick. Just another sign of their incompetence, I would imagine.
Yeah, you look at that deal that they made for Robert Griffin III, and they got eight guys out of that deal ultimately, and they got two guys that are pretty good still, Brockers and Ogletree, but the other six guys are gone. And, you know, that was their chance to build a great team, and they didn't, obviously. And, boy, I tell you what, Robinson may have been the biggest slug of them all. He just, you know, without getting overly technical about it, he just couldn't block anybody in the passing game. You know, they put him at left tackle, and he just couldn't play left tackle. I don't think he's a bad kid or anything. He just couldn't play, at least not that position. So, you know, yeah, he's in Detroit. He took the red eye. He couldn't wait to get there. But, you know, I wish the Lions luck because, man, they could not coax NFL-caliber line play from that guy, try as they might.
Yeah, and from what I'm reading on Twitter, he was kind of lazy, too. Like, he wasn't as interested in studying his playbook as much as he was trying to learn rap lyrics. I believe it was Jason Cole from Bleacher Report that tweeted that out. So, yeah, maybe a change in scenery will help out. Maybe Los Angeles is too laid back for him. He needs a tough town like Detroit.
You know, some guys were not the hardest workers ever, but when they got embarrassed,
yeah,
when somebody was, they would respond at that point. And not even that seemed to get to Robinson. He would just hold the guy instead of like trying to elevate his game.
The Blues, they made some moves today. They hired Craig Berube and Daniel Kazuk. I guess I'm pronouncing this guy's name right. I'm probably butchering it. But a lot of people were excited about Craig Berube, the Craig Berube hire. What's your take on it?
Yeah, he got high marks for his work as a head coach at Chicago, and he was, you know, in the hunt for some of the head coaching openings this year in the NHL. He waited those out, didn't get the call, so he took the job here that I think was waiting for him from the time the season ended. You know, they were hoping that they would get Berube to take over that associate head coach role, and he's just a player's coach. He's obviously a commanding presence from his days as a player. He was one rugged individual, and, you know, boy, I tell you, I think they've gone young with the whole group. It was time to get some fresh voices, and sounds like they did a pretty good job.
It's looking like Steve Thomas and Ray Bennett. Those are people who were there last year, and now the oldest one is Berube. He's 51. Is that going to be something that's good though for this team? Do you think they were responding better to younger coaching?
Well, I think in the sense that he was good with younger guys as a coach in the minors, so I think he had the way to connect with that. Certainly compared to Hitchcock, he's a kid, and you know, maybe not so much with McGill, but so they got a mix of guys. You know, they went to the AHL to get a goaltending coach, a guy that goes back with Jake Allen. They were in New Brunswick together back in the day, and so he knows, coming from the Syracuse crunch, working again with young goaltenders, he knows Jake Allen personally. So I thought that was a good addition too, I guess it's Kachuk Daniel, spelled differently than Walt. But he was a guy, he was an interesting guy. He was a high draft pick, and he never really made it. At one point, he passed through the Blues organization on one of their bailout trades. So he got thrown into the deal, and he just – guy that didn't end up playing at a high level in the NHL despite his draft status, but has found himself as a coach.
What do you think it would take to pry Eric Hosmer out of Kansas City and have him play first base full-time for the St. Louis Cardinals?
Well, you know, they've got this question came up. I was filling in doing a live chat today, and obviously first base is one of those positions where you feel like you can add the heft. You're right now you're with Carpenter there. To shake this team up, they probably are going to have to trade a Carpenter because he's got a couple more years. He's your first baseman. You really can't play him anywhere else defensively.
You can't bat him anyplace else either.
Yeah, and that's a limiting factor. So, you know, what do you do with Matt Carpenter? Do you hang on, leave him in the leadoff spot, hope Fowler's okay hitting second, and then look elsewhere for half to? And where do you put that batter? So, yeah, I think it's certainly Kansas City's getting to that point where it's, you know, going to have to sell. Can't keep these guys, can't afford them in free agency. You're going to have to get something for these guys. They're going to have to reload. And, you know, they're in a tough spot. They paid money for Alex Gordon when they shouldn't have. I mean, he just died on them. So now they're stuck on Eric's case, and he's going to get coined. You know, yeah, they'd want young pitching, and maybe, you know, you're going to package some of these guys who don't have a future here, like a Grichuk, in one of these offers at some point this summer trying to get some things. So, you know, but they're going to want elite pitching. You know, they'd want going for Luke Weaver, Jack Flaherty, two of the top young arms in the minors. Alex Reyes would be a great get if he's healthy, but, you know, right now I don't think either side would be willing to make that deal. So, yeah, it's a real tough situation. You go out and get a guy, but, you know, okay, now you have to replace the guy you have, and what do you do with him? Is there a trade for him somewhere?
And the problem with Eric Hosmer is that he would be a rental. He is a free agent as soon as the season's over. And to make matters worse, his agent is Scott Boras. And Scott Boras and the St. Louis Cardinals do not exactly have the greatest of relationships. But when you look at everything about Eric Hosmer, he's everything that you would want in a player, especially at first base. 6'4", right. 225. He's got a career WAR of 11.2. He's got 3 gold gloves. He doesn't hit a ton of home runs, but he hits enough home runs. He's got the power. He's got everything that you would want, and it's something that they're sorely lacking.
Well, he's a rich man's Matt Adams, who, by the way,
absolutely
is doing really well in Atlanta. So, you know, you've already thrown him out the door to make room to keep Carpenter in the spot. So, yeah, what do you do? How do you change the mix of this team? Where do you go get guys? Where do you put them? And I kind of like left field as a spot, but you're booked with Fowler, and you got young center fielders that are better than Fowler in center field. So what do you do? It's a puzzle that can't be solved, I think, with the current pieces.
What's the most frustrating thing about Matt Carpenter is the fact that he can't play any place other than first, the fact that he doesn't run the bases well, or the fact that he can't bat anything any place other than leadoff?
See, I to me, he's got the tools to be a great three hitter. You know, he's you know, I don't think he has to get himself in a frame of mind where the only way he can succeed is to get the two strikes. You know, I can't imagine a guy that's a good hitter, a guy that's driven in runs, got, you know, a lot of doubles, some home runs, capable of RBIs. You know, he's a guy, he'd be a poor man's George Brett. I mean, he's not a home run guy, but a gap guy, gets his share. This is a good hitter. And for me, the fact that he's incapable of hitting leadoff, anywhere but leadoff, even though typically he would only lead off once a game as a leadoff hitter, I just, you know, is it mentally that much? And if it is, if he's that mentally incapable of adapting, then you got to wonder why he's getting all the money.
Absolutely. And I can't understand why batting leadoff means that much to him. It seems strange. You think that most people wouldn't want to bat leadoff. You think they would rather wait and, you know, maybe bat second or third. You're still going to bat in the first inning, but maybe get a couple of more looks at the pitcher while you're standing on deck and not the first one to go out there and discover everything all on your own.
Yeah, I mean, to me, it shouldn't be as much of a – you think about all the other things you might do in sports. You might change a guy from the left side to the right side on the offensive line. Well, you know, it's different. Everything's different.
Yeah.
Running plays weak side versus strong side. Well, it's an adjustment. There's playing out – you know, maybe you want to play 4 instead of 5 in basketball where you're out on the floor more. Well, that's a big change. To me, again, you know, if you're a hitter and you got an approach to hitting, you should be able to hit anywhere in the batting order. And you know, if you're a speed guy and your whole thing is you want to get out and disrupt things with your speed, well, that's one thing. But obviously, that's not Matt's case.
Jeff Gordon joining us right now on the Bellman Automotive phone line. You can follow him on Twitter at GordoZone. Your latest tip sheet today, you were talking about Jeremy Maclin signing with the Baltimore Ravens. I'm just happy he didn't sign with the Rams, because I think that would have just really been another bleep you from Stan Kroenke to the city of St. Louis if he would have signed one of St. Louis's favorite football sons. But I think him on the Ravens, I think it's a great fit.
Yeah, he seemed really jacked up about it. You know, they made a big pitch. I think Flacco really reached out, tried to make him welcome. Guys on the team went on his visit, were very welcoming. I think he feels like he's playing for good offensive coach. And, you know, it's hard to say what went wrong for him last year. He wasn't healthy in Kansas City. He dropped passes he normally would have. I mean, it was a bad year all the way around. And just baffling, though, how they let him go, the timing of it, and why they didn't give him a heads up, especially since he was getting married. Seems like they could have said, "Hey, look, dude, you know this is going to be a cap problem. We're telling you right now, we're going to let you go."
Yeah, Andy Reid was at his wedding.
Yeah, why not just be upfront about it? If it was a problem, then you know, and you do the math. The math didn't change, I don't think. That was odd. But you know, even though he had a limited market to play himself into, he got a pretty good deal. I mean, it's not $9 million a year; it's 11 over 2, but. I think he'll be okay.
Andy Reid should have found a way to like kind of work that into some kind of toast. I know like the best man normally gives a toast, but Andy Reid should have been like, "Look, no, I got something I got to say," and then walked up there in front of everybody with a glass of champagne, and then just said like these flowing things about the couple, and then look at Jeremy Maclin and go, "Oh, by the way, we're going to release you on Monday. Enjoy the honeymoon."
Yeah, it's been great. I tell you, of all the guys I've ever had play, he was one of my favorites. He did a heck of a job during his time in Kansas City, which unfortunately is coming to an end on June 1st. Yeah, sort of slide that in there and kind of, you know, make it a little softer blow.
Let's quickly talk about the U.S. Open. Round one is going underway today at Erin Hill, Wisconsin. Ricky Fowler at 7-under. We had Taryn Schaefer from the PGAtour.com on right before you talking about Ricky Fowler. Is he the right now the best golfer to never win a major?
Well, he's certainly on the list. I mean, you're talking about a named guy, and, boy, coming out firing today. But I'm sure they'll be figuring out how to screw the course up so he won't be able to do that tomorrow.
But he
can't underestimate how much that means to guys. And, you know, to bank one and to put that aside, so every time you're in one of these events, that question doesn't come up. How annoying would that be everywhere you go, every time you go to one of the majors, that, hey, you know, you've won $8 zillion. You've got your career earnings of unimaginable. You've got all these endorsements. You fly the world in a private jet. But, you know.
Yeah, there's
what
this.
You haven't done.
It's got to feel.
Is it the pressure? Does the pressure get to you? What is it? Why?
Feel a little like Dan Marino, Charles Barkley, that kind of thing where, you know, like you said, you're at the airport or you may be out at a restaurant someplace and someone recognizes you and go, oh, yeah, by the way, you never won a title. You got all these stats, you know, an MVP, all that great stuff. Everybody knows who you are, the Isotoner commercials. But, yeah, you never won a Super Bowl. Loved you, Nace Ventura, though.
It's hard to judge people on that one thing. And, you know, geez, you go back to some of these poor guys that were caught playing NBA at the time Jordan was in his run. Well, you never won a championship. Yeah, well, I never got to play with Jordan. My agent could not work that out. I'm sorry.
Yeah, but a little bit different in this day and age. They all want to play together. Back then, they all wanted to play against each other.
Well, I mean, you could say that Kevin Durant took a shortcut, but, man, how... By the way, how good was he and how good was that series, man, in terms of just sheer entertainment? Oh, my.
Entertainment as well. And you know what? The entertainment is still going on, too, because Golden State, they had their parade in Oakland today. And Draymond Green was on one of the floats, and I guess it's Quicken Loans Arena where the Cavaliers play. And he had this T-shirt instead of it looked like the Quicken logo, but it said Quickie instead, talking about how quickly they disposed of the Cavaliers. And LeBron had a picture. He put it on Instagram, and he captioned it by saying, "That's what she said." And then Draymond fired back saying something about like how the Cavaliers finally made LeBron cut off all of his hair because he had a picture where he basically did everything but take a straight razor to his head. So these NBA players, man, they know how to keep it entertaining even in the off season.
Well, you know, Draymond kept it, kept a lid on it for the most part during the postseason and didn't get himself in any trouble. So, you know, he's got to have some fun in the parade.
He's got to let it all out. I'm sure he's probably still hammered. I know I would be.
That's a hell of a deal, I tell you. And I just feel bad for every other team in the NBA for the next 5 or 6 years. Oh, my.
I'm with you on that one, too. I don't know who's going to take them down. Gordo, we appreciate your time this evening, sir. Enjoy the weekend and happy early Father's Day.
All right, thanks, and anytime, guys.
Appreciate it, Jeff. That is Jeff Gordon from STLtoday.com. You can follow him on Twitter at Gordo's Zone. Let's take a commercial break, and then coming up on the other side, we're going to be joined by ESPN.com's MMA writer, Brett Okamoto. You're listening to That 590 Show right here on 590 The Fan, 105.7 HD2 FM, and InsideSTL.com.